The following sermon was delivered during morning worship at Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York City. We welcome you to worship with our vibrant community of faith every Sunday on the corner of Fifth Avenue and 55th Street in the heart of Midtown Manhattan. And now, here is our guest preacher for today's service.
Our preacher this morning needs no introduction to so many of you. To most of you, Jan Ammon was your associate pastor here at Fifth Ave from 1999 to 2006. During that time, she shepherded this community through great times of joy and transition, and as well as hardship and loss. But most of all, she helped create a deep culture of care that I witness and experience today. But for others of us, especially those of us on staff for Werner, Morgan, Lance, and myself, we know Jan in the role she holds today as the Bryant M. Kirkland Minister of the Chapel at Princeton Theological Seminary. In other words, she is the pastor to future pastors. But regardless of the title or the place that she is serving, I think I can speak for all of us in saying that Jan is just one of those people who loves us into grace and encourages us in faith. So let us all welcome home our beloved Jan Ammon.
Oh God, as we enter into your word read and preached, we ask for your spirit to come and meet us here. And somehow, by your light, O God, may the simple words that I offer today become light for us, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Hallelujah! How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant it is to honor God with praise. The Lord rebuilds Jerusalem and gathers the exiles of Israel. The Lord heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. The Lord counts the numbers of stars and calls them all by their names. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. There is no limit to God's wisdom. The Lord lifts up the lowly, but casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make music upon the harp to our God, who covers the heavens with clouds and prepared rain for the earth, making grass to grow upon the mountains. God provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they cry. God is not impressed by the might of a horse and has no pleasure in the speed of a runner, but finds pleasure in those who fear the Lord, in those who await God's steadfast love.
And from 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. The weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. He had greaves of bronze on his legs and a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and his shield bearer went before him. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistines said, "Today I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Last summer, my husband Greg and I took a 4-week road trip through Colorado, Utah, and Wyoming to do some hiking in national parks. I was very grateful for our adventure. However, I will confess to you that I had one major concern about our trip, and that concern was bears. So you can imagine how I felt when we were checking in to our hotel near the Rocky Mountain National Park, which was our first park on the trip, and the afternoon desk clerk said this to us: "Be sure to empty everything out of your car tonight, especially any food, because if you just leave one French fry in your car, a bear can come and rip off the door and get at it, because there are bears all over this place." Then she said, "If you drive too close to an elk and its calf, the elk will put its rack right through your windshield." And if that wasn't enough, as she pushed our room cards closer to us, she stopped and said, "And be careful if you walk around here at night, because there's a pack of coyotes that comes through here every evening." Do you remember in the Peanuts cartoons, when life was weighing heavy on Charlie Brown, the cartoonist Charles Schulz used to draw these circles under Charlie Brown's eyes? Well, Greg often says to me when I get worried, "You're getting Charlie Brown eyes." I would like to just say, after our check-in, I had very bad Charlie Brown eyes. Later that evening, Greg and I stopped back in the lobby to ask the night clerk a question. In the course of our conversation, we told her what the afternoon clerk had said about the bears and the elks and the coyotes. She started to laugh. She said, "The only thing I see is at night." She said, "There's one coyote that will occasionally come by because someone leaves an apple core in the planter out front." Well, it became very clear to us that our afternoon desk clerk had been messing with us. But I guess driving a plug-in Prius hybrid with New Jersey plates made us a pretty good target. But in all sincerity, I ask you this morning, what are your bears? What are you worried about? What keeps you anxious? What do you hear others say, true or not, that concerns you? What keeps you up at night or wakes you up early in the morning? Or to use the image from 1 Samuel 17, what are your giants? What looms larger than life for you? What seems threatening or overwhelming? The entire story of David and Goliath from 1 Samuel 17 is our Old Testament lectionary passage for today. When I was preparing for this service, I read through this entire familiar story once again, but I was struck by the very first part of the passage that we just read. I was struck by the great detail that was given to the giant. In our passage, 3.5 verses, almost a third of the verses were dedicated to describing the giant, his height, his helmet, the armor he wore, the javelin slung over his back, the spear he held in his hand. It was such great detail. No wonder the Israelites were dismayed and greatly afraid. It's interesting to note that the gospel lectionary passage for today, which we don't have time to read, is another story of a community being greatly dismayed and afraid. This time it was the community of disciples in Mark chapter 4. They were crossing the sea in a boat with Jesus when a great windstorm blew in and the boat was being tossed. The disciples feared for their lives, and in a panic, they woke Jesus up from a sound sleep, and they said, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" So here we have in Samuel this giant. We can see in great detail what looms large. In Mark, it's a windstorm. It was something unseen that blew in and unexpectedly. You know, I think that's how it goes with our anxieties and fears. Sometimes we know what they are, we can describe them in great detail. Sometimes we can't see them. We just know the boat is rocking and it feels like it's going to tip. So what are your bears? What are your giants? What are your personal, heartfelt fears and anxieties today? Are you dealing with a health concern or waiting for the results of a test? Is a loved one ill? Is a relationship coming apart? Are you navigating grief? Are you struggling at work? Do you work too much or not enough? Is it hard to make ends meet? Do you feel lonely? And how about the world around us? We open the morning newspaper and there it is. Children of immigrants being separated from their parents. Flowers and teddy bears tucked into a chain link fence after another school shooting. Candles flicker on a street corner after another act of violence. Recently, there was a picture in a Jewish cemetery where a woman was kneeling to wash swastikas off of gravestones. Women are abused, their stories are doubted. White supremacists march, their danger dismissed. Racist remarks are reduced, then brushed alongside with the pain of so many. And others are criticized or condemned for whom they love. Truth, integrity, compassion, and justice sometimes seem to have taken flight. It is an overwhelming time. There are giants and there are windstorms. So at these times, we need to remember. We need to remember that this is not the end of the story. There's more to come. Jesus stills the storm. A shepherd boy, David, unexpectedly delivers a well-placed stone and a giant is defeated. We need to remember that seemingly small, well-placed actions or a well-placed person can have an impact on the seemingly overwhelming powers that be. The week of May 14th was an especially busy one at the seminary. For the first 3 days of that week, we had our annual reunion. And alumni returned to campus, and almost everyone asked me the same question. How has the year been for you? And I had to be honest and say it was tough. Not so much on campus, that was a pretty good and steady year, but there's been an increased anxiety among our students as they struggle with this challenging and changing church and world. But then at the end of that very week, we celebrated our commencement, and we sent out 186 graduates in ministry all around the globe. And there was hope, and there was promise, and there are possibilities as these well-placed graduates come to places like Fifth Avenue with Werner and Morgan, and they go to churches and communities and hospitals and prisons and universities where they can help change the world. I think the other thing we need to be reminded about in these overwhelming times is that we need to take a break from the fears and anxieties of our lives and of this world. This was actually some of the inspiration for our four-week sojourn last summer. Greg and I were coming off a few very challenging years, not the least of which was the loss of my mom. My mom was 93 years old when she passed away. She had a good long life, and up until the last 2 weeks of her life, as she desired, we helped her remain in the house she shared with my dad for 63 years. When she was gone, we had to empty their home, which was truly an emotional archaeological dig. Then we had to sell the home, which was one of the most poignant things I've ever done. So at the end of that stretch, feeling depleted, not really knowing what we needed, we thought it might be a good idea to lean back into some beautiful places in God's good earth. So we set out on our road trip. The first part of our trip was to drive from Princeton to Denver. Along this leg of the journey, Greg had arranged for us to stay in some Airbnbs. And in Kansas, we stayed in an Airbnb called the Good Karma Dairy. Now, to get to the Good Karma Dairy, which was an organic micro dairy, you went on Route 70, you got off, you went a few miles, you turned right, you went a few more miles, the road turned to a dirt road, and on it went. Eventually, as we drove along, we saw in the distance a small ranch, a small house, a modest barn, some fenced-in areas in the back. We pulled down this long, dusty driveway and parked between the house and the barn. It was out there. So I said to Greg, "Why don't you go to the door to see if this is the right place?" Which is graciously what he did while I sat in the car. As I sat there, I noticed that the barn door was open a little bit. And just as I noticed that the barn door was open a little bit, chickens started to stream out of the barn. 20, 30, 40 of them. Not only did they stream out of the barn, they came right over to our car and they started to peck on it. You know, when you're in a stressful situation, they say it can be good to recount past successes so you find yourself that you can navigate this current situation. So I sat there in the car and I thought to myself, okay, you've taken a raft trip down the Colorado River. You've snowmobiled through a herd of bison in the Yellowstone. It's highly unlikely that a marauding band of chickens is going to be the end of you today. So as I sat there in the midst of this bizarre experience, there was a tap on the car window. It was one of our hosts who said through the glass, "It's okay, come on out. They're just eating the bugs off your car." And I got out of the car, and sure enough, the chickens were eating the bugs off the car, and we had a really good laugh. But then we went on to have this wonderful evening with our very gracious hosts as we helped feed the obviously hungry chickens, watch the cow being milked, and as evening approached, we watched a border collie shepherd all the goats into a pen. And then, as the sun set, we sat in the dark on their deck, and we watched the stars puncture the darkness of the night sky. And being in such a remote place, there was no ambient light. So the stars were breathtaking, including the shooting stars, especially one with the long tail that went halfway across the sky. And it was the first time in a long time that I felt deep peace. The kind of peace that comes when you realize that God is bigger than all things, and that there are seasons in life you do not understand, but somehow you know everything's going to be okay. So in these fearful and anxious days, we just need to still stargaze once in a while. We need to be reminded that the light punctures the darkness and the darkness will not overcome it. In the psalm we read this morning, it says, "The Lord determines the number of stars and calls them by their names." I don't think it's any coincidence that in the Old Testament, God promises the leaders of the Israelites that they will have descendants as numerous as the stars. I'm certain that Abraham and Isaac and Moses felt the weight of the call on their life. So how reassuring it must have been to look up and see the regularly returning night sky and be reminded of God's promises. Now, I fully know it can be hard to stargaze here in New York City because there is so much ambient light. There's so much that competes here for our attention. But once in a while, we still need to look up. The stars are there. And actually, they've been known to lead us to Jesus, which is why we came here in the first place. So friends, this is a fearful and anxious time. There are some giants in the land. There are things that we don't even know or see that rocks the boat. So we continue to do what we can. We read scripture, We pray prayers, we sing songs, we cry out for justice, we march in parades, we welcome the stranger, we practice hospitality, we seek healing, we embrace gratitude, we dry each other's tears and hold each other up, and we live in love and hope. And we remember that a well-placed stone may fell a giant. What we do and who we are and how we live can make a difference. And as we continue to do what we can, every once in a while we look up and we see the stars and we're reminded that the light does shine in the darkness, and indeed the darkness will not overcome it. Thanks be to God. Amen. Friends, we go into this day and into this week knowing that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is with us now and forevermore. Amen.
We hope this sermon has been meaningful to you and provided a message of hope, encouragement, and good news. If you are in New York City, we invite you to visit our historic church and join us for worship. You will find our address, worship calendar, and other information on our website, fapc.org. If you would like to help support this audio ministry, please text the dollar amount of your gift, followed by the word sermons, to 646-491-8331. Again, that is the amount of your gift, followed by the word sermons, to 646-491-8331. Thank you, and God bless.